So I was at the movie theater, and you know what I found out they're making a movie of that's coming out like in a couple weeks? I had no idea they were making this movie. They're making Bad Boys 4.
Oh yeah, I did see that actually. I saw a promo for it with Martin Lawrence, and apparently that whole joke from Bad Boys 2 of like the boy that came and dated the daughter or whatever, it's like apparently they got married or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's in Bad Boys 3. They referenced that. But you haven't seen Bad Boys 3 yet.
I still have it. That is an ultimate sin, especially because you've been recommending it to me for years. Does that make me a bad friend, Christopher?
No, it's all good, but it's on Hulu right now. So if you want to go watch it, you can go watch Bad Boys 3. I'm not gonna lie, Bad Boys 4 actually does look pretty good. I just hope they aren't gonna Fast and Furious it.
Yeah, to where before we know it, it's gonna be Bad Boys 6. It's like the family returns.
Yeah, because they did leave it off at the end of Bad Boys 3 for this one, and I'm like, okay, like that makes sense. Like, it makes sense for them to do another movie. So I'm on board with that. I just don't want them just to be trying to get cash grabs. But I was like, ooh. And they're also making, did you see the trailer for Beetlejuice?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it looks good. You know, I don't go to the movies, but that's actually one that I do want to go see. It's like that one actually looks pretty good, and the storyline looks pretty good as well. So it's like, you know, that actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the storyline is. I just saw like the teaser trailer, but it looks like it's gonna be pretty good.
I heard it was, you know, the daughter from the first character. Basically, it was like the three generations. It's like the witchy mom, and you know, the daughter who was the protagonist of the first one, and then apparently she's got a daughter now, and then Beetlejuice comes into the equation, and it's a whole thing. So it's like kind of different generation. I guess this generation's Beetlejuice, if that makes sense. You know what? Before we get off this subject, there's one that I saw on TV the other day that I went, man, that's a TV show that Christopher's gonna love. And he's gonna watch it. Did you see they're coming out with the new Matlock, except it's gonna be with Kathy Bates?
No way. You gotta be kidding
Yeah.
me. I'm not gonna
Yes,
watch
dude,
it.
I was.
I'm not gonna watch it.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic. I'm just saying, when I saw that commercial, I was like, no, 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 no.
Well, when you said that, it was promising, and then you said Kathy Bates, and then you lost.
Well, no, you know, I don't know, man. Reboots, you got to do something really good with it. And don't get me wrong, Kathy Bates isn't terrible, but it's just kind of a weird fit. It's kind of a weird fit.
All right. Well, I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast. Well, speaking of reboots and all that stuff, when you said Kathy Bates, she reminds me of a family member that's maybe closely related to you, but I will get off that
Oh,
subject.
okay.
Anyways, welcome to the
Want to know
Donut
which
Box
one now?
Podcast. We actually have a special episode for you. This is called What Fries My Donuts Extended Edition. And this is whole episode. We're going to try to keep it positive, but it's just going to be a rant of what really fries our donuts just in life, not just this week, but in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you listen to our show regularly, we talk about what fries our donuts. And that's something else I'm going to try to do. I'll probably touch on some that's like, yeah, you know, I've talked about in the past, but largely a lot of these, I thought of some, and I don't think I've talked about these, so I think it'll be good.
So this is like the spinoff show of our show. It's kind of like a spinoff episode, I guess. It's getting its own dedicated episode, one segment.
I'll put it this way. I really like What Fries My Donuts. That's probably one of my favorite segments that we do each week, because it lets you, you know, tell your opinion without it being, well, unless you say something about something your wife likes, then it could be a problem. But hey, we're not getting on that.
You heard it first, listeners. For the whole world, you are Micah's venting place, so he can just throw everything out.
Who needs therapy? We have the Donut Box Podcast. What can I say? All right.
Yeah, with that being said, I'm going to let you go first, because it sounds like you got a whole bunch of things you want to talk about.
Yeah, man. And so, something else that Chris always loves to point out when we do What Fries My Donuts is everything that fries my donuts is oddly specific. So most of the things on my list are going to be oddly specific. So just be prepared for that, Chris and world. The first one that I thought of was, and it happened again today, everything, it fries my donuts when everything always happens when I'm eating. I sit down to eat. Something, you know, it's, you have a hard day. or you have something hard happen, and you go and sit down. And for me, eating is kind of that break point of, okay, now it's time for relaxation. And that's when somebody calls, hey, I need a favor. Hey, I need something going on. Work calls you. Something happens. Somebody knocks on your door. Something happens, right? It never fails. I don't know what it is. It's just like right when you sit down, too. It's like the food's nice and hot. It's right in your face. And it's like, all right, I'm about to eat. You take a bite and it's like, man, this is good. And all of a sudden something happens. You're like, you got to be kidding me. I got to get up. And then, yeah, I don't know, man. Does that happen to you or is that just me?
It does happen to me, but I think it is fries your donuts more because you said that eating is like your sanctuary place. And for you, eating has, it's like, now I can finally rest. I don't have anything more to do. This is like me getting to unwind. It's part of your unwinding process. So then when things pop up, it kind of pokes holes in the operation. So I think it's more of a, that's invading like your safe place.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and a lot of the time too, it always happens when you're at your most tired or something is going on and you're just like, all I want to do is eat. Or like you're at the most hungry point and you're just like, all I want to do is eat. And it's like something happens. So it's like, yeah, man, that fries my donuts. So that was the first one. What do you got? What do you think? What fries your donuts?
I'm going to try to leave the names out of this so I don't get sued. No, I'm just kidding. Not sued, but get in trouble. What really fries my donuts is when people try to push their own product or song or movie on you without you asking.
Or actually being interested in it.
Yeah, or actually interested. So, and they make it all about them. So, I don't know if I really want to get into this because this is a very specific subject. But say, for instance, you are just sitting around, you're having a meeting, you're discussing whatever it is, and somebody says, hey, do you want to hear my song? Hey, I'm going to play my song for you guys. And you have to sit there and listen to this song. And you're like, we were talking about something totally else, dude. Like, no, it's like they're pushing it in your face, and it's like, hey, look at me. And I don't like that because I'm like, if it comes up in like natural conversation of like, hey, how's it going, man? And you're like, hey, I've been working on this song, or I've been working on this movie. And I'm like, oh, dude, like, that's cool. I have to check it out sometime. But like, well, hey, I got it right here. You want to check it out? Or maybe I can send it to you, whatever. Like, that part is okay. But when you're just like talking and you're like, all of a sudden you just out of left field, like, hey, do you want to listen to my song? Or hey, do you want to see my website? Like, what the heck is that?
Yours is specific to the whole, you know, people being trying to promote themselves. I don't like that. I also don't like it when people try to shove just stuff that's not even theirs, right? Music that they like, or for instance, I've been driving in a car before and you have your music on or you don't have any music on. I've had it before where there's no music on and somebody goes, hey man, I heard this really cool song here lately. Like, it's one thing if it's Chris, and I know he's trusted with the music, you know what I'm saying? But there are some people that you just cannot trust with music. And I don't know. For me, most people are, I don't know your taste. I don't, you know, unless we've talked about it explicitly and like, hey, you know, we know that we align in genres. It's like, don't turn that on. But I've had people who grab the auxiliary cord and just start going, just assume the DJ role. I don't know. That stuff bothers me too. Or it's like, I saw this really cool Instagram reel the other day and they're like shoving their phone in your face. I can't stand that crap either.
Yeah, that's the big one. It's like, if you think it's funny, like, now it's one thing if like it's my wife or something and she's like, hey, like watch this video. And she, but it's like another thing if it's like someone I don't know that well and they just shove this phone in your, like, bro, just send that to me because nothing's awkward. Because what you think is funny, I might not find funny because they'll be like, oh, watch this video. It's so hilarious. And I'm like, it really wasn't that funny. but I think it is one thing, like, you know, for example, if Michael's like, dude, let me play this song, like, it's really cool. Like, there may be a chance that I don't really like it, but Micah's my friend, so, like, yeah. It's okay. Well, it's, like,
yeah, it depends on who this person is. It depends on who this person is. Like, that's kind of, you know, what we were talking, what I was saying before, too. I think it's exactly that is, you know, it all depends on the person. It's, you know, if you say it's cool, I'm going to trust you because I would say 9.5 things out of 10, I'm going to agree, like, yeah, that's pretty dope, right? But it's like there's some people that's like, nah, man, I don't know you like that to try to – and, you know, it's one thing if you want to try to get to know somebody or align with somebody, but a lot of times it's just like they shove it in your face. You know, I think that's the thing about it.
Yeah, or it's one thing if you're, like, riding in the – if you're going on a car trip and you're like, hey, man, like, you're the passenger. You pick the music, bro. Like, you tell them, hey, you pick the music. Now, if you say, all right, you pick the music, then that's on you. You got to sit through that. You got to endure it, right? Like, even if it's not your jam, like, you told them. You gave them permission for the aux cord. But I think going back to the original thing, I just don't like when people are self-promoting. And I understand you do sometimes have to self-promote in certain industries, and I get that. But it's just the over-self-promoting, and it's like, look at me. And that's the problem with Instagram and all this stuff. It's like people are just trying to get a viral like, and not to go into, I mean, I can go into that rabbit hole, but like, especially with like young preachers and stuff, now it's all about like, how can I look good for Instagram? Can I say a quote that's tweetable? Like,
oh yeah.
All that stuff. Oh, yeah. And I hate that. I'm like, bro, like it shouldn't be about you. Like it's number one, it's supposed to be about Jesus. Number two, you're supposed to be feeding your people spiritually. And number three, like, the word of God speaks for itself, so you don't have to come up with some catchy quote or thing that makes you go viral. And so that's what fries my donuts.
Yeah, absolutely. Going off of something you just said, I wasn't going to bring this up until later, but something that I've been hearing about more, and this is what fries my donuts. Have you heard about franchise churches? Now, I'm not talking about Church's Chicken. Like, I'm not talking about Church's Chicken. I'm talking like, there are organizations out there now, there are companies that will buy land, buy churches, and all you have to do is pay in a certain amount, $5,000, $10,000. They'll let you be the pastor, but they take a certain cut off the top, and you're a part of their network. You have to teach their curriculum, you have to do, and it's becoming really big in Silicon Valley to have these franchise churches to where you're a part of a franchise network. That fries
oh,
my
yeah,
donuts.
I don't like that.
That is, you know, I'm, you know, and we're getting more into the religion side of things, but, you know, I do believe to a certain extent you have to run your church like a business, but that is way too business. You know, that is, all that is trying to be a cash grab is what that is. And try, because what are they trying to do? They're trying to have so many people or so many churches in their network. A lot of the tithes and offering are going to this main pool, right? And then at the same time, they're taking 20% off the top already because you just paid into it. Or, you know, how much of a percent they're taking off the top of everything else, because really and truly, they funded it for you and all you did was buy in. And, you know, it leaves pastors powerless, I feel like, right? And that's bad in a lot of instances too, but it, the whole concept is just, it sounds like it would be having Jesus flipping tables. It don't sound like it's something
yeah,
that should be happening, bro.
Profit off of it.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, that stuff fries my donuts. And the thing is, you know, and I'm personally a Christian, I think it goes into the deeper thing of it, and it's been going on for a long time, but, you know, there's a reason that Christianity has been played out. You know, there's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there. I'll just say that. And that's what's aggravating about it, is because a lot of times Christianity gets a really bad name, and it's because we have a lot of these, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are out there for their own selfish game. Now, yeah, they're all people, but these people get into the game just to do this. Like, they didn't, you know, it's one thing if you were pure-hearted of intention at first, and then it turned into something else. And that happens too. But a lot of these guys, it's like, they didn't even believe in God in the first place. And now they're going to start a church, and it's because they want that money. And they'll say whatever it takes to make it happen.
And it's all tax-free. And that's why they want it. And you're getting rich off the kingdom of God. And you're building your own kingdom instead of God's kingdom, bro.
And at this point, and I'm going to go one step further. And we're not going to make this whole episode about it, because we could. But what we've come into as a society right now, what a lot of people are trying to grab onto, is next steps and a lot of what feels good, right? So all they have to do is go in there and say what feels good to people, and not talk about the rest of it. It doesn't necessarily have to be biblically based, right? They just, it's a lot of what I've seen from, and I'm talking more about these franchises, I've seen the other side of it, right? Where it's hellfire and brimstone and then scaring people into the whole thing. And that's a side of it too. But this side is almost a, how do I put this? A Tony Robbins event, right? It's like a self-promotion, you know, like, oh my God, you're so great. And that's fantastic too. But they pump these people up so much to where it's like they're just giving bukus and bukus of money. But at the same time, they're going off of the principles of Christianity. And it's supposed to be about giving up yourself and living by the commandments of God, right? Instead, what they're teaching is, you're so great, do what you want to do, and that's wrong. And so it's, there's a lot of that crap out there, and it just, it fries my donuts up, man. It's just, you know, the intention is just so terrible, and that stuff is just, it leads so many people, and it destroys people's lives, is what it does. So anyways, pretty crazy stuff. But that stuff fries my donuts. What do you have, man? What's going on?
This is kind of like with social media and stuff, and I'm going to use an example, and this is a very hot button topic right now. So hear me. I'm not.
Hey, it's 2024, man. It's the Donut Box Podcast.
Yeah, I'm not defending or attacking this person, right? But I don't like, as a people on social media, they don't do their real research, and they just see, I guess, articles or whatever, and then they attack or cancel a person. You probably know what I'm referring to, mostly about the speech from the Kansas City Chiefs player that has gone viral, that Harrison, whatever his name is. Yeah, and so he made some comments that I watched the video and I understood what he was trying to say. I don't think he communicated what he was trying to say that well. And there was probably a better way of communicating his point. And again, I'm not defending him or coming against him, but people online just straight up canceled him. But they didn't watch like the entirety of the speech. They took out one or two like little sound bites, but they didn't watch the speech in its entirety. And I'm like, dude, as social media, like, we just cancel people for no reason. Like, we don't fact check. We don't look at the whole story. We don't do that. And we just go off what other, I guess, influencers are saying about this person instead of actually doing the research for ourselves. And I don't like that we've just relied on letting influencers tell us what we should or should not have and or what we should or should not cancel. I don't like
that. You know, it's interesting you say that because I do agree with that. It's weird because a lot of the world that we grew up in, it was CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. Like, they were the main three, and they were the ones really pumping out the news, and it was very biased. And they would do that, right, to where somebody would say something, they would take a snippet of whatever they said out of context, and then they would throw it on TV, and they would just bash that person for it. And that's where a lot of people had, you know, opinions about, you know, you can throw any name in there for all three of those news networks. I feel like, you know, social media got so in-depth to where now we're talking about all these influencers. You have thousands of Fox Newses and MSNBC, and all the, you know, opinion is just out there, right? And what blows my mind is how many sheep are out there, right? How many people follow just whatever people say. That's the part that blows my mind. I don't know. It seems like it's just weird because it's just gone so much more in depth. You know, it's
one of the things I don't like either is that we don't have grace for people, and so we'll take this one isolated incident and then we'll automatically cancel people. Now, Hear what I'm saying. Like, if a person has a repeated history of doing things, then yes, we should cancel them 100%. But like, we don't give grace or let people make mistakes. I mean, you heard about that whole thing with Kevin Hart hosting the Oscars. Like, he made a tweet 10 years ago, right? Like, and people canceled him for that 10 years later. He apologized when the tweet first came out, after it came out, like 10 years ago, but people were still taking that. And they, like, canceled him. And I'm like, dude, like, you make it impossible for anybody And I'm like, dude, if half the people knew your personal business, not you, Micah, specifically, I'm talking you as in
right,
a general
right, yeah.
way, if half the people knew your specific business or what you said 10 years ago or what you said even 5 years ago, you'd be canceled too. So it's like we don't give grace to people for making mistakes. And at the same time, we also, on the flip side of that, we also give too much grace for people that have repeated behaviors. So we'll cancel someone like a Harrison so-and-so, but we won't cancel Oprah.
This is kind of a weird example. Or Cuba Gooding Jr. You heard about that guy, right? Like, that guy apparently is not good at all. Apparently he's had repeated, like, sexual crimes, and nothing's ever happened to him. Basically, every time it's like, oh, well, you're going to go to 6 months worth of counseling. He's never been to jail, and he's been convicted like 5 times. I don't know. You know, it's like those people don't get canceled. They still get movie deals. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, and Oprah's taking pictures with Harvey Weinstein, friends with Harvey Weinstein, friends with R. Kelly, friends with P. Diddy. Like, hold on, bro. Like, friends with Jeffrey. Hold on, dude. Like,
oh, listen, Oprah's been sketchy, man. There's a whole rabbit hole you can go down. Like, Oprah's been in that stuff for a long time.
But we don't cancel her. Why?
I don't know. I mean, you saw the whole Monique interview with Shannon Sharp. I mean, she was talking about Oprah too, and how Oprah did her dirty, and I mean, and did a whole bunch of other people dirty too. And so, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff. It's crazy because Hollywood is so corrupt, and not just that, but just a lot of the media outlets are just, the whole thing is just really messed up. And I think it spits people out weird.
When you're Oprah and you're part of the gatekeepers, quote unquote, or you're part of, call me conspiracy theorist, when you're part of the Illuminati, dog, telling you, you can't get canceled. They make it impossible for you. That's why they distract you over here, so you're not really sure about what's going on.
We won't go into that, but them secret societies, that's something else. But yeah, no, I completely understand.
What fries your donuts next? What's getting on your nerves?
So my next, and we're going to change subjects just a little bit here. Bad salesmen. Bro, I cannot stand bad salesmen. If there's anything that fries me up more than anything, it is a bad salesman trying to pitch to me. And, you know, I'm not trying to be all whatever, but at the same time, I've sat through sales presentations. There was one that I was at when I was going through the wedding venue process. And as Chris can tell you, or anybody that's gotten married will tell you, it's quite the process. I mean, there's quite a lot of things to look at, and a lot of it's very expensive. And so you're trying to find the best deal, naturally. And so it was pretty crazy. But this particular salesperson, and I'm using them as an example because you've all been through these situations, but I feel like the first thing, and this always bothers me, some people's sales technique is to put somebody else down automatically. And the first thing she did, we walked the venue, and so now it's time for the full, you know, she showed us everything, we sit on the couch, now we're talking specifics. The first thing she says is, well, when we're talking about price, you've probably been around town and seen some of the other prices. Like, yeah. And it's like, have you been up to the road? And she named a venue up there. And I said, no, not yet. And she goes, oh, you don't want to go up there. That's run by the Chinese. And you're like, do what? And it's just like, do what? And she goes on about how it's a corporate-run business and it's from China and you don't want to go there because they're going to charge you double and all this other stuff. And she said something about a couple other venues as well. And then it starts going into, like, and we haven't even talked price yet. And she's, like, trying to give us discounts left and right. And it's, you're sitting here going, first you talk bad about somebody. Now you're, like, groveling. This is really weird. You know, this is really, really weird. And I understand most people are not salesmen. But when you're talking about something that's over $10,000, it's very, very weird when somebody is first talking bad about people, then sitting over here like, well, you know, we can throw in the catering for free. And it's like, we haven't even talked about the price. Like, why are you automatically lowering? Because to me, that as a consumer, that kind of tips me off of like, what's going on here? We haven't even talked specifics. And it's kind of like being at a car deal, right? and they're automatically going like, "Oh well, I'll throw this in for free." It's like, why are you throwing stuff in? We haven't even talked details yet. Like that don't, something don't seem right, right? And there'll be things like that, or those guys that be coming door to door, for like.
Oh yeah, they don't take no for an answer. They try to get in your house.
Yeah, they be trying to get into your house, and that's what I don't like. That really fries my donuts. I don't really deal with people that much, but at the same time, it's like them, the Mormons, they be trying to get up in there real hard. They don't want to take no for an answer. They try to do all this stuff, and you know, when we're talking about these home security people, a lot of time they're from out of state, and so you don't know who these people are. And so for me, a lot of, I don't know, call it my paranoia or whatever, but it aggravates me that these people come up there and they just want to keep on talking. It's like, dude, you from Colorado. How do I even know that you're part of this company, right? Like, what if you're just trying to get up in my house or scoping this place out? I'd be thinking about all that kind of stuff. It just aggravates me when people be trying to do that. And a lot of the times, to me, if you're pushy, I'm turned off, right? Like, I'm already off with that deal. But it's also just really bad whenever... here's the other part that's bad. I've seen this a lot with salesmen too, is they will automatically start discounting the product when you say something negative towards it, right? You'll say, well, I don't really like the color. Oh yeah, red sucks. You know, I don't understand why, and I'm just saying car deal. I don't understand why GM does this kind of red anyways. And they're trying to like be buddy-buddy with you, and it's just like, okay, I get that, but that's not a good sales tactic. You're supposed to turn that around and sell me on why I like red. Like that's the whole freaking thing. It's not supposed to be, I don't know. There's a lot of technique out there that's just like, man, this is just bad. It makes me just want to walk away from me right now.
It reminds me, and I always think of you whenever I watch this scene, that scene from Boiler Room. I showed you that movie. And so in this movie, Boiler Room,
is it the Vin Diesel scene where he's closing it?
No. So in Boiler Room, basically, it's about this guy who goes into like day trading and like he's trying to sell like stocks for companies that doesn't really exist. And so like he's a really good salesman. And then he's sitting at home one day and this guy calls him from another company about trying to sell him something. And he's like, this is terrible. And he's basically coaching the guy on how to sell him like whatever he's selling him. And so that makes me think of like you all the time, because you're like, there's nothing that a good salesman hates more than a bad salesman.
Yeah, it's just like, it's hard because there's so many things that's like, man, you would have had me. I guess that's what aggravates me the most about it. It's not that I want to be cocky or, like, I know I'm a good salesman, great, but there's so many things that you're sitting here going, man, you could have had me if you went this direction with it, right? And here's where you're going wrong. You know, it's like you could have had it, I think is the biggest thing. And then there's a lot of these guys, they just start off with you wrong. Their attitude's all wrong or whatever. And so it just fries me up. It's just because then you have to endure it. You have to sit there because at the same time, I love my wife and I'm not complaining about her. Love you, honey. But a lot of times what happens now is if we're in a salesman situation, she will not let me cut off the conversation. Normally, I was a salesman too, right? If I'm not digging the dude or I'm digging what he's selling, I'll be honest with him. Like, hey, man, I'm just really not that interested. I appreciate your time. Let him move on to somebody else, right? Go sell something to somebody else because you're not going to get it from me. And, you know, instead, my wife's like, no, that's rude. And so we sit here and have to sit through the whole freaking thing.
Nah, it's more rude to waste their time, in my opinion.
That's what I feel. But, hey, but, you know, the wife, I'm going to say, yeah.
I went into T-Mobile one time and the lady, like, first of all, all the employees were just sitting at this table, like no one even greeted me. And then so all of a sudden, I guess the lady saw me. She like walked over to me and she was just kind of like, hey, like, what do you want? Like, she didn't say it that, but that's kind of how she said it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, like, I'm trying to do this. And she was just like really matter of fact and like was just had a bad attitude. And I just turned around and walked away. She's like, so do you want to like do what you're gonna do today? I was like, no thanks, I'll go somewhere else. Like, I'm not gonna waste your time and you're not gonna waste my time. Like, and that's how it is normally most of the time. Like, if you're a bad salesperson, I'd be like, all right, thanks, have a good day, and then I'll just,
yeah,
go
absolutely
somewhere else.
I mean, nothing's worse, man. Nothing's worse than a bad attitude or a bad sales pitch. I don't know. But anyways, man, what's next, man? What bugs you? What fries you up?
The rise and grind, bros. Those are what get me the gym rats. You know what I'm talking about? And these aren't just gym. They don't just go to the gym. That's part of it. But they are like, dude, they're the rise and grind, bro. If you woke up at 4 a.m., I woke up at 2 a.m. And they're like, I'm just built different. No days off. Like, I'm gonna do this. You always got to be about the grind, bro. And it's always like a glorified thing. But really and truly, like, I've noticed the rise and grind bros, they don't even really work that hard. Have you noticed that?
Oh no, that's the whole facade. I feel like it's, they put up this front of like, look how hard I'm working, but then really and truly they're not. It's amazing. It's that delicious wrapper effect, man. If you have to put delicious all over a wrapper, is that really going to be good? I don't think it is. And to me, those guys, what's interesting is I've known quite a few of them, and it is like that. It's like, oh man, I was up at 2 this morning, and you know, I went and did this, and I went and worked out, and then I went over here, then I had a protein shake over at the Shake Shack and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, that's great. And they're just like, well, if you're not working out 3 times a day and you're not working 16 hours a day, you're a loser. You're just a loser. That's all it is. It's like, I could do that every day, all day, every day. But then in reality, they're not doing that.
Yeah, really all these dudes do is just work out. Like, they don't really hustle and grind. Like, most of them are, like, maybe just insurance. Like, and there's nothing wrong with being insurance, but, like, they just talk about it. And anybody, they have the, what I like to call the fake alpha male persona. Because if you have to talk about being an alpha male all the time, you're not an alpha male. And, like, I understand, like, the term alpha male, like, I get it, and there are some people that are just that way, like, naturally, but I don't know, it kind of rubs me the wrong way.
That's just nature. I've always felt this way. If it's the loudest person that's saying that they're this and that, that's not the person you ought to worry about. It's the quiet person. You know, Mr. Graham, R. Graham, that kind of dude, that's the kind of guy you don't want to mess with. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. You got to just be quiet. And again, the quietest person in the room is the person that's listening. They're also probably the most hardworking person in the room, because again, like, you can usually tell who works hard, because they ain't got to say nothing. Their results just show.
And those people tend to notice what needs to be done and do it without saying anything too. So that's always something.
They'll be the hardest working people, because you'll never know that they came in at like 5:30 a.m. You'll never know.
Yeah, until you be talking to them one day. Like, if you get close to somebody like that and you talk to them, all of a sudden it'll be like, yeah, man, I've been coming in at 5:30 every day for 3 months. You have? Really? And yeah, I've been coming in, and they don't even care, you know? They act like they don't care. They just be doing what they're doing.
What else fries your donuts?
Man, so kind of on this same note, I can't stand it when people point out or ask you to do something when you are clearly in the middle of doing it. I don't understand why this is a yeah. freaking thing. Like, there are so many times where, and this happened a lot whenever I was a kid, and I think this is where it rubbed me raw, because I would be standing there at the back of the car unloading groceries, like groceries all up in my hand, and I would have my old parental unit coming up to me and saying, hey, I need you to help me unload the groceries. It's like, mother effer, what do you think I'm doing? Like, I'm 3 grocery bags deep here. Like, I don't understand what's wrong with you. And that tends to happen quite a bit. Or it'll be like, mainly nowadays it's work, right? Where you'll tell, and it's because people don't listen a lot of the time. So I'll tell them like, hey, I've been working on this, I've been working on that, whatever. And then it'll be a week, 2 weeks later, and they'll say, hey, I need you to do this or that. Well, it's already done. Oh, it is? Yeah, it is. I told you I was working on that. And it's like, oh, or it's like, oh, I'm in the middle of that. And then everybody's, I don't know, it's because other people are lazy too. People don't believe you when you say you're in the middle of that. Like, oh, no, I'm already started on that. I'm going to be done with it here soon. And they're like, oh, okay, sure. Well, you can start at any time. Like, bro, I'm already in the middle of it. It's like, I saw the writing on the wall. I knew it was coming.
Or when it's like something that you normally do all the time, like all the time, and you're like, do you not know that I do? When have I ever not done this? Or here's what it is. And this is kind of the main thing that happens. Like, it'll be something that you're already doing and you're already, like, ahead of the ball on, and you always do this. But then in a staff meeting, like, the boss will be like, we need to start doing this, and we need to start doing X, Y, Z. And it's the exact thing that you've been doing for months, bro. But, like, nobody else has been doing it, but you've been the only one, and you're like, bro, I've been doing that for, like, 6 months, Derek. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's I mean, that's the primary thing when you're talking about work. It's like, man, there'll be so many times where they'll say, hey, I need, you know, we need this or we need that. And you're going, bro, it's been, like, for instance, I could give you a specific, I do a monthly report, and each month, they'd be like, hey, did you get that report done? And they all have access to this report, too. So they can go look if they really wanted to. And I'm sitting here going, when have I never got this report done? That's my main question. By this point in the month, I always, because it's always due on the 15th of the month. And so you go, I'm somebody who does things early. It's like, man, it was done a week ago. And it's always been done, you know, in advance, early, and you have access to see that. And they'll be like, hey, did you do that? I don't know. You can look. I mean, come on. I don't know. That stuff fries me up, because you're just sitting here going, I do this every month. It's in the same spot. Why are you asking me for? And either that, or I've been through presentations before, or like run through presentations in a meeting, because we'll do that and we'll practice sometimes. And people will go, is this the updated information? And it'll say very clearly April, or like the month before is data. It's like, yes, it's the updated information. Fries me up, man. Fries me up.
You know who's got me fried up?
How about yourself? What's going on?
And I've talked about this again. That guy Hulk Hogan, bro, he fries me up. I cannot stand. And I know.
Christopher. Come on, brother.
Christopher, without Hulk Hogan, wrestling wouldn't be where it is today. Yes, that's true. Christopher, Hulk Hogan just got saved. Okay, that's between him and God. I'm not convinced of that, but that could be him. But I'm not going to question the man's salvation. Here's why I don't like Hulk Hogan. The man is a liar. The man just makes up stories. Like, he is a compulsive liar. Like, I was watching a documentary, and this documentary came out like probably a year ago, and it was talking about how in the late 90s, whenever Hulk Hogan went to the rival company, WCW, that he didn't want to be turned into a bad guy because he was worried about how the kids would react, because he was always a good guy and the hero, and he didn't want people to hate him. So then, a couple days ago, this fool talks about how he, in 93, he was going to be the original Hollywood Hulk Hogan, which Hollywood Hulk Hogan, the name didn't come out till 97, and he said that he was trying to convince Vince McMahon in 1993 to turn him to be a bad guy. Like, he wanted to be a bad guy, and that was his whole thing, and that's why he left the company, is because he wanted to be a bad guy, and they wouldn't turn him to be a bad guy. And I'm like, dude, you just contradict yourself all the time, man. Like, and he's always, like, inserts himself into these situations. Like, anytime there's any, like, wrestling documentary on anybody, guaranteed Hulk Hogan's going to be a part of it. And Hulk Hogan had something to do with that person getting a rise to fame. And I'm like, no, you don't, Hulk Hogan. And the thing about Hulk Hogan is, in his career, he was the most selfish person. So they would, like, they would tell him, hey, you're going to drop the belt to Ultimate Warrior. And he'd go, oh, yeah, that doesn't work for me, brother. Like, I'm not going to do that. And it's like, he would do that with every single person. He only cared about one person, and that's himself. And so that's why I don't like Hulk Hogan.
Well, there you go. The full.
This man tried to tell people that he worked 390 days a year. There's only 365, and when people called him out on it, he was like, well, with all the traveling to Japan, and then you'd have to, it was different time zones, so then when you travel back to the States, it was like you were traveling back in time, so I really worked 390 days, and it's like, it's only 365 in a year, dude.
Christopher, don't you know that when you fly to Japan, it's a full day difference, so you lose a day when you come back, brother? No, I'm joking. No, I get you, dude.
I can't stand that guy.
Well, you know, I thought being an Augusta native, you would have liked
Don't
him.
Don't you start with that, because my buddy Austin tells me all the time, he was like, oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan, your boy. He's like, your boy's wilding out again. I'm like, he's not my boy. He's like, well, he's from your city. I'm like, no, he's not. He was just born there. And I'm like, Hulk Hogan is not my boy. For all those that love Hulk Hogan, more power to you.
The only reason that I remembered that is going to the Augusta History Museum, or the, you know, I'm talking about.
And he was on the 700 Club. Did you know he was recently on that?
Really? He was on the 700 Club? Is that show still going on?
Yeah, sharing his testimony. He's like, what are you going to do, brother, when Hulk Hogan, the 700 Club, and Jesus Christ put the hurting on you? And it's like, he literally said that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy, you just need to retire, bro.
Yeah, man. Ugh. That's crazy. I hate to say this because, again, you know, it's one of those things you don't want to question somebody's faith or whatnot. But don't you feel like it might be a cash grab at this point? Because I feel like he kind of tapered off a little bit.
Yeah, he's trying to get that pop again. No one really is talking about Hulk Hogan that much anymore. So that's why he's trying to keep himself relevant. He's in all these documentaries. He even said at one point he might return to the Royal Rumble this year. And I was like, Hulk, nobody wants to see your old behind wrestle, dude.
Well, reason I was thinking, because it was like, man, 2005, I remember, you know, he was still kind of big, and he had like kind of surf shops and some weird stuff going on, and he was all over TV, but he kind of fell off there popularity wise.
He still has his surf shops.
Oh, does he? I just remember it was like really popular. Like Hulkamania was pretty crazy still, but I felt like it kind of fell off. And so who knows, man? I feel like it more than anything, I feel like it's a cash grab, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, what else fries your donuts? We could do maybe one more. I don't really have too much left, so I'll let you do the closer or the couple more.
I've got a few. These are like weird, obscure ones, like very specific. You ready for this? What really fries my donuts is when grocery cart wheels are not centered. Like, I can't stand that crap. I know that's a very
small... When
they're
not centered?
Yeah, or when they're off kilter, you know, to where it draws to one direction or the other, and you have to, like, pull it constantly.
You mean the tire alignment's not
right,
so
yeah.
You pull in one way?
Exactly. It's not centered. Like, I can't stand that crap, man. I can't stand it. Like, it just be bothering me, especially when there's, like, all that hair and crap stuck in it. It'd be doing the little fluttering thing when you get to a certain speed. That ticks me off. Really fries my donuts. Here's another. This is another small and very specific thing. I hate when bugs get on you, and then next thing you know, the rest of the day, you feel like there's bugs on you, but there's not. Or, like, stuff's crawling on you, and you go to... and there's nothing there. I don't know. That drives me nuts because it feels like that happens. I don't know. It lingers. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, there's not really much you can do about that.
No, you can't do anything about it, but it ticks you off because you're sitting here going, what's crawling on me? And there's nothing. There's nothing. And these other two we can go into pretty good. What really fries my donuts is when people tell you advice, but you know full well they wouldn't take themselves. I can't stand them people, man.
Do you have an example of that?
Yeah, I don't have a specific example for that one. I'll think of it probably after I say this next one here. When people assume plans on you, you know what I'm talking about? I can't stand it when people, that's the other thing that fries my donuts. I can't stand it when people just say, okay, well, I'll be there at 6 and we, you know, I'll be here and do that, or I'm going to show up to your house and do this and that, and just assume themselves that they can just do that. I don't know.
Oh, so they just invite themselves over without even asking you?
They invite themselves, or they'll even say, we're going to dinner here at 5:30, and you're going, who said I wanted to go to dinner with you? Like, you know, I don't know. That stuff is really, really intrusive.
Yeah, that is hard when you're like, hey, like, I was just going to chill today. I don't really want anybody coming by. I feel like that's maybe an older people thing.
Yeah, I don't know. There's that, and then it's just, we do have some friends of ours, love them dearly, but it's, they just be assuming things, and it kind of goes into another level, too. like when people aren't considerate about certain things. Like we moved the other day and we had some friends of ours, and they're cool people, don't get me wrong, but we had spent a long day moving and we were tired and everything, and they're like, hey, can you watch our dog? And it's like, yeah, I guess. And they didn't come over till like 1 a.m. And I was just like, bro.
1 a.m?
Yeah, exactly. Because they were like, oh, we're packing to go on this trip and all this other stuff. And it's like, bro, it's 1 a.m. after I just had a really, really hard day. And we had to stay up. And it was just because, like, they told us about this like 9 p.m. So we were figuring, okay, this is going to happen. And nah, man, they didn't show up for a while. And then they wanted to talk. It's like, bro, I'm so tired right now. It's like, just get the dog in the house and let's go.
Oh, yeah, bro. I see. I'm like, you show up at my house at 1 a.m., I ain't answering the door for you. I'm going to be asleep. Sorry, you're going to have to figure out something else. No, sir.
It's like, y'all lucky I'm a good friend. That's all I got to say. But I think it's one of those, the best example about people not taking their own advice, it's not something that happened to me. So I was watching that show, Unlocked on Netflix, the one about, you know, the doors being open and everything. There's plenty of examples on that, right? Like old Squirrel, where he'd be trying to, like the best example I could be thinking about is he'd be trying to tell people in jail, you know, like here's the rules and here's how to do this. But at the same time, he making hooch. And you're sitting here going,
oh, yeah, he's partying with all the young cats.
He's partying
and following
doing
the rules.
He's partying and doing all this stuff. And you're going, bro, why am I going to listen to you? Because you either that or here's a good example. When I was dating way back when, and I was working at Boot Corral, I had a particular manager tell me, like, hey, here's what you want to do. You want to go out there. And he gave me a particular way about going about women. And it really bombed. Basically, he told me, he's like, what you want to be is you want to be a total jerk. Like, you want to be a complete jerk and, you know, call him fat and ugly and all sorts of crap, right? And so I tried it, man, and it, of course, it went bad. And so I go back to him, like, what the heck, bro? And he was like, yeah, man, I've seen a lot of other people land women that way, so I figured it would work. And I'm going, bro, you gave me advice. Like, I thought it was going to work too, because you'd be getting women and like, what the heck, bro? It's a weird example, but stuff like that, where you just like, I thought you knew, like, I thought you had done that and it worked. That's why you were giving me this advice. It's like, but you ain't going to live it.
Gotta hate that, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Don't give unsolicited advice either, unless people ask for it.
Yeah. Last but not least, I hate these, and I'm going to end on this. I hate these women out there, men too, but primarily women out here on the social media. And the first thing when you get on their page will be a Bible verse of some sort, but the first 3 pictures of them living like crap. That's what I hate.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Click on my OnlyFans page.
Exactly, bro. And it'll be like, it's like scroll down and it's like them half naked grinding on dudes at the club. It's just like, bro, it's like, practice what you preach. It's like, how are you gonna be quoting scripture but living like hell over here? Like, that don't make no sense.
Oh yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it'd be like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, so please donate to my OnlyFans account so I can buy everything I need.
Yeah. It's like go to my Linktree page and go to see all my naughty photos. And it's just like, geez. Wow, that took a turn quick.
Gotta love it. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed this What Fries My Donuts special episode. Oh, by the way, happy Memorial Day if you're listening on on Monday, to all those that served, happy Memorial Day. To everybody except my cousin Steven. No, I'm just playing. Going back to the last one.
You're still holding that beef.
I think that's just going to be a thing. I don't really have beef with my cousin Steven. It's just like, yeah. And happy Merry Christmas to everyone except my cousin Steven, till you pay my mom back.
Listen, no, man. We've got beef with your cousin Steven. He's gonna pay back. I don't know how. I don't know how we're gonna hold him accountable.
Oddly enough, he broke my leg on Christmas Day when I was 3. It was by accident. He was like roughhousing and like doing some WWE moves, and somehow I broke my leg. I don't remember how, but yeah, that was a fun Christmas.
And I bet you he didn't pay for that. Neither did he, Steven.
Well, he was like 7.
I don't care. You know what? That's how you get a paper route, boy. It's time to pay up.
Anyways, enough about my cousin Steven. Anyways, I hope you guys have a wonderful Memorial Day. Tell them where to go to find all the good stuff.
At Trash Can Nation on Facebook, Instagram, and over on the YouTube. Aviator Society over on Instagram as well for all your fun aviation deeds. But yeah, man, pretty much that's all I got. We could take this donut box out to the trash.
All right, well, I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this is...
Screw you, Steven!